Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday. It's time for another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 154. Your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm just thrilled to be here, excited about our guest tonight and learning some more about the things he's involved with. How about you?
I am just excited to be here. We got some more rain again this week, so everything's starting to green up again instead of looking brown and dead and crispy. And so I'm happy with that. And
all right.
Been doing a lot of work. We got all kinds of cool stuff coming down the pipeline with books and audiobooks and all kinds of cool things.
Yeah, you say pipeline, and my image is a little bit more like an avalanche. I'm picturing, you know, like where you shoot a rocket at the side of a mountain and the snow starts coming down. It's been real busy lately.
Yes, it has.
To forget what sleep is like. But speaking of busy, we've been getting regular submissions for our short story showcase contest. As many of you know, we already have one book out. Fresh Ink Group Short Stories Showcase number one has about 55 or 60 short stories from great writers all across the nation and some of them from around the world. And that was real cool. We found some great talent out there. Now we're probably approaching about half as many stories as we need for the next book. So I'm going to nudge you people. Have you ever written a short story? If you have, why haven't you sent it to us? It could be something that's been previously published, but get those to us. You can send it to contest@freshinkgroup.com or use the contact form or couple of the different forms that are on the homepage, like forget a quote or something like that to upload your file. Any of them will get to us. So send those in. But remember, contest@freshinkgroup.com. See your name in lights.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that first book is really cool because I think we even got a submission from Japan one. But a lot of these stories, these were first-time authors, and they had just written, you know, a couple of short stories, and then they got them published, and that kind of nudged them to publish their own books. So some of those first-time authors are now, you know, they've got two or three novels under their belts. So this is a good way to introduce your work to readers around the world, and you know, who knows, you might have a novel in your psyche somewhere.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've been working on this week is a book for Dave Hooker of Off the Hook Sports, and we have a title for it now. Da-da-da, title reveal. It's called Celebrate 98. And it's a good, long, hard, nostalgic look at the 1998 College Football Champions Series, Tennessee Vols, with lots of cool color pictures and all the behind-the-scenes stories, quotes from the players and the coaches and some Where Are They Now stuff. That's from Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports. And we're looking forward to getting that out sometime in the next couple of weeks in plenty of time for football season.
All right. We've also got Slingshot. That's the first of the Star Child saga from Robert G. Willis Croft. That's out now, and the next three are in the pipeline, as we say. So keep your ears out, ears and eyes open. Willis Croft is an exceptionally gifted sci-fi writer, military thriller stuff, just some really cool stuff. So if you're into good writing, check them out. And if you want to call in tonight, you've got something you want to ask tonight's guest, or you just have a comment that you want to make, there's a couple ways you can do that. So here's how you can
call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet, and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
All right. Now, speaking of that avalanche, we've got several books that are looking to come out sometime in the next couple of weeks. One is by David Carroll. Now, we previously published David Carroll's Volunteer Bama Dog, which is a nostalgic look at basically the whole tri-state area down here in the South and what's going on with the media and stuff. And we published his Hello Chattanooga, which what's that about, Bean?
Oh, that's a really cool one. That chronicles everybody who was anybody and some who were nobody but became somebody that came through and played Chattanooga, music, acting, a lot of sports stuff, Muhammad Ali, you know.
Little Debbie.
And it literally goes back to 1902, 1903, all the way up to recently. So you'll get Al Jolson played there, and you'll get photos or little snippets from the newspaper reviews of Jolson when he was, you know, singing, you know, way up on the Suwannee River. A lot of people probably don't know who Jolson was, the younger ones, but he was once popular back in the 20s and the 30s. But, yeah, I mean, this book is loaded with photos. It's loaded with newspaper reviews and clippings, and it's really cool entertainment history.
Yeah, so the new book by him is I Won't Be Your Escape Goat. And it's a look at a whole bunch of cool, crazy signs, misspellings, postings that didn't make sense or whatever. And it's a laugh out loud kind of book. We're having fun with
that. It is. We laughed out loud when we were looking.
We did, literally. we've got Pandemonium and Puzzle Town from B.A. Johnson. And she is the author of the two Sassy books, Sassy Discovers the AME Church and Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret, which are both performing very well out there. She's even getting churches and organizations around the country to order quantities. We just shipped 300 copies to a bishop somewhere in the Northeast. So congratulations on that, B.A. Johnson. So we're looking forward to having Pandemonium and Puzzle Town. We've also got The Diane by Maureen Howard, who's going to be going by M.C. Howard. And she's got the first of a trilogy, the Diane Trilogy, getting ready to come out here sometime in the next week or two as well. She's also going to be our guest next week.
Yeah. So you guys can, all you listeners out there can get a chance to meet one of our upcoming authors who hasn't been published just yet, but hopefully she will be by then or close to it. We also have As We Remember, by Najma Thomas. This is a look at the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina, or Beaufort, South Carolina.
Beaufort, yeah.
Beaufort.
Fit in, Bubba.
Beaufort, South Carolina. And she's down there. She done wrote this book. Now, As We Remember by Najma Thomas, this is an excellent book filled with photographs and people's personal stories about being involved with the Women's Relief Corps. And we also have Daddy Yo-Yo and Legendary Marble Tournament by Janice Toney. That is out. That is a book for children and young adults. It's a lesson on bullying and just being an all-around good person. And it's got great illustrations in it, and it's available now, so get out there and grab your copy. Now, if you want more news on books that Fresh Ink Group is publishing, what's coming up and what's out now and what's in pre-order and all that good stuff, and all things indie publishing and all things Voice of Indie Podcast, we've got a newsletter, and here is how you can subscribe to it if you're not.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of FreshInkGroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
All right,
let's take a look at some bestsellers here. All right, this is Fresh Ink Group print bestsellers. This does not include digital sales. This is just what the distributors are ordering from our print catalog to send to retailers around the world. Starting at number 25, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Georgia. And if you jump up three slots, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Tennessee. I got a feeling we're going to find the Florida one even higher up in this list. But the food truck business books are moving fairly well. And from what I'm seeing out there in the world, food truck businesses are doing very well. They're popping up everywhere I go. And, man,
they're
I'm
all over the place.
Good, good food, good stuff.
Yeah.
And what's really cool is they're doing lots of festivals and events and things down here now, especially during the summertime. And that's one of the big draws that they advertise. We will have 60 food trucks, you know, on site and stuff like that. So sometimes I don't even care what the event is. Let's go down there and, you know, go from food truck to food truck to food truck until we puke, you know?
Yeah, why not?
All right, so then in between those, we've got Shipwrecked and Rescued, the hardcover edition of Larry Jorgensen's true story about 240 Chryslers being shipped to Canada in the 1920s, and they never made it there. They had to rescue the crew and go back later and see if they could rescue those cars. Did they get them? Buy the book and find out. Above that, Sassy uncovers Peter Allen's Secret by B.A. Johnson. That's the second in her Sassy book about a young girl who's learning about the history of her AME church. Now, above the food truck business in Tennessee, we've got Outshine, an ovarian cancer memoir, second edition. Why don't you tell us about that, Beam?
That is Karen Engel's book. And it is a personal telling of her battle with ovarian cancer, and thankfully she won that battle, and we are we're proud to have republished that for her. I read that, and I passed it on to my mother, and it's a well told story. You're getting Karen's background, her history, and what it was like. So if you know someone who's going through a cancer battle, this is an uplifting book. It's, you know, it's something that that can really help other people.
Yeah, definitely. And all proceeds go to ovarian cancer research. So this is a selfless effort from Karen. She's trying to help people out there as many ways as she can, and we're proud to have that. Now, above that, we've got How to Paint an American by Andrew McGregor. That's been out for, what, 6-7 weeks, something like that, and it's still going very strong. That's a very cool novel, kind of a gritty look at a foreigner coming to the U.S. and having to adapt. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament, hardcover edition is above that, and then above that, Operation Ivy Bell, the Mac McDowell Mission by Robert G. Willescroft. The hardcover edition. Yes, people, novels are selling in dust jacketed hardcover editions. And I continue to be amazed week after week after week by how many hardcovers make this list. As We Remember, A History of the Woman's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina by Najma Thomas. The paperback edition is next. And then right above that, the paperback edition of How to Paint an American. And then right above that, the hardcover edition of As We Remember. A History of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina. So again, that one's that's a nice full-size book, 8.5 by 11, and that's a laminate hardcover. And she's doing better with the hardcovers than the soft because everybody wants a keepsake edition. So more power to them. We'll sell them. Now, above that, The Autumn Tree by Isha Ehsan has been steadily moving up our list since she won a major award from the government of the United Arab Emirates just a couple of weeks ago. So we're very proud of Aisha. Now, The Chair, Volume 3, 7, 8, and 9 by Robert McKenzie, the paperback edition. And then above that, How to Teach Driving, Behind the Wheel, Lesson by Lesson by Kenneth Lindquist. And this is the instructor's edition. And it's the hardcover that's doing so well. So people who are buying this book are expecting maybe to keep using it and referring to it and keeping it on the shelf and handy or whatever, as opposed to a one-off read and toss it out. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament paperback edition is next. And then above that, Dr. Helen Burrell's paperback edition of American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain. This is a very hard look at what's going on politically out there right now with trying to crack down on doctors for prescribing and impose rules and limits and, you know, put hoops in front of people who need help with pain. The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip, paperback edition by Mark Herndon, former drummer from the supergroup Alabama. Published that book in 2016, and I don't think it has ever dropped off our bestseller list. Do you remember it ever dropping off, Beam?
I do not remember it ever dropping off. I think that's probably the biggest seller we've ever had. I know that.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. Then above that, Sassy discovers the AME Church, which is the first book in B.A. Johnson's series, paperback edition. And then above that, I had talked to Jerry Pate earlier today, and he was thinking that maybe his book had dropped this week. No, the hardcover edition, I told him, was at number 8. It has moved up to number 6 just in the last couple of hours. So Jerry Pates, submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. He's the ex-naval lieutenant commander who's written 60 chapters of memoir with some behind-the-scenes stories about the submariner life. And they're just cool stories. He's getting great reviews and a lot of good positive reception for this book. Now, The Chair, again, Volume 3. This is Robert McKenzie, and it's a hardcover edition, outselling the softcover edition. Well, who'da thunk? And then in the number 4 slot, Operation Ivy Bells, A Mac McDowell Mission by Robert G. Williscroft, paperback edition. Congratulations, Robert. You're in our top 5 this week. And then number 4, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida. I thought I would see this one up here. Out of the 3 food truck books out so far, Florida seems to be the one that's really, really cooking. Did you get what I did there? Really cooking? All right. Number 2, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat by Jerry Pate, the paperback edition. And then that brings us to number 1. Number 1. What do you think might be number 1, Bean?
I think Jaws by Peter Benchley.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Bangor by Larry Jorgensen.
Close.
Yep, the paperback edition. That's the story about the 240 1920s Chryslers that never made it to Canada. That's a cool book. It's historically accurate, well-researched. It's got all kinds of maritime history, Upper Michigan history, a lot of cool historic photos, all the behind-the-scenes stuff, the interviews with the people. It's just a great book. We're proud to have that. So congratulations, Larry Jorgensen. You've got our number 1 slot this week.
Congrats. All right. We also have George Dismuth's latest book, Paradise My Prison, is currently in its Vella form, and it's still open. So that means you can go over to Amazon and click on it and read the first 3 chapters for free. And if you're new to Vella, Amazon will give you 200 tokens to open up the next several episodes. And if you run out of tokens, you can buy like 200 more for $1.99 and finish reading the book. And get over there and check that out. Support George, because it's going to be going out into pre-sale here in several more weeks. But you can help him out and give him that little boost by going over and checking him out on Vella. And speaking of Vella,
let's urge people to hit that thumbs up on George Dismukes' thing,
yeah,
too,
yeah.
Because we have it on good authority. He notices.
Yeah.
Every time there's a thumbs up, I get an email. There's another one. So
yeah.
We're thrilled to see that. So, yeah, get out there and make use of that. Thumbs up, help.
So when you're over there reading those Vellas, click the thumbs up. You can also follow the story. Click the follow, and every so often you can favorite it. So when you're given the opportunity to favorite, do so. It really helps these authors out, and we really want to help George have something big and successful here. Now
Kendall even paid George a bonus for the number of reads that he was getting and stuff.
Wow.
So that helps with the earnings, too.
Yeah, all right. Now over on Twitter, Verwayne Greenhow, he says, my romance Vella series is live. This is a series of love stories that will not go into ebook format. This is up. The first up is the story about an elderly couple together for 70 years. Love can be eternal. So you want to find that, you can come over to Twitter and type in hashtag Fresh Ink Group and click on latest, and you'll find Verwayne's link to that Kindle story as well. And he just came back with, I have found it is, depending on the price of the ebook, almost always cheaper buying the Vella platform version. So there you go.
All right. So we've got a commercial for George Dismukes' book available on Vella now.
All righty.
Now on Kindle Vella, Charlie Flint awakens from a deep sleep and finds himself alone on a tropical beach surrounded by a palm tree jungle and exotic animals. He cannot remember who he is or anything about his life. First, he must find food and build shelter and protect himself from hidden dangers. As his memory gradually returns, it reveals what a very flawed person he is. A man who made too many mistakes, made too many enemies. The implications of the truth are staggering. How did Charlie get there? And will he save himself? Paradise My Prison is the riveting new suspense thriller from retired Hollywood scriptwriter George Dismuke. Published by Fresh Ink Group, Paradise My Prison is on Kindle Vella with 3 free episodes. Paradise My Prison by George Dismuke.
All right. Sounds like we got a lot of rain pouring here.
Wow. So who is this guest today?
All right. Let me set this up here real quick. I'm caught doing something during the commercial. There we go. All right. He says he was born in a town called Elko, Nevada. He likes to tell everyone he was born in a small town in the 1940s. He's not quite that old, but Elko has always been a little behind the times. This gives him a unique perspective of earlier times and other ways of getting by. Some of this bleeds through into his fiction. C.S. Boyack moved to Idaho right after the turn of the century and never looked back. His writing career was born there. With access to other writers and critique groups, he jumped in with both feet. He likes to write about things that have something unusual. His works are in the realm of science fiction, paranormal, and fantasy. The goal is to entertain you for a few hours. He hopes you enjoy the ride. And with that, welcome to the show, C.S. Craig Boyack.
All right. Hi, Craig.
Thank you, you guys. How are you?
Just thrilled to be here. Well.
Happy to have you on again, your return guest.
It's true. I'm a veteran now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We'll send you your card in the mail. So, so let's figure out where you are first, and then apparently we already have a caller or two. So
yes,
where all of you have lived, Craig, and where are you now?
I am in the Treasure Valley of Idaho, a little pocket community just outside Boise. I actually work in the Boise area and commute every day.
Oh, beautiful country around you, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, apparently we've got a caller with a question.
Okay. So first we will take Dr. Helen. She's been on hold for a bit. Greetings, Dr. Helen. How are you doing tonight?
Just turn my thing on. Here I am.
Okay.
Oh, wait,
how
are
you doing tonight?
Hello, here I am.
Hello. All right. Good to have you
I had my loudspeaker on. Forget about physically, but mentally, interacting on Twitter is good, right?
Yep. Yeah, I see you out there.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
We're doing fine. We've got
now,
Craig Boyack.
Now, Mr. Boyack, you know that what I'm always going to ask, right?
Yeah.
What started the writing in childhood or whenever? And what is his process?
Wow, that's a long answer. I always liked fiction. I've got a vivid imagination, which those closest to me will admit to. And I got to the point where I had just gotten kind of bored with the humdrum of daily life. It was the middle of winter. I felt like I'd conquered the internet. We didn't really have streaming services or anything in that day and age. And I just thought, you know what, this might be a fun path for me to take. And I started writing, and I can't seem to stop myself at this point.
Yeah, but what age was that? Not in childhood? You started as an adult?
Yes.
Hmm.
Wow.
A lot of people started writing stories when they were a kid. Or
I know
school
a bunch
age
of
or whatever.
You.
Yeah.
Well,
so
then what were you doing before you were so creative? You know?
Oh, I was one of these work people, party people, marriage changes a guy, so does family and children and all that kind of stuff. And, the responsibilities of starting over when we moved to a new state. And at that point, life kind of settles down. It's not a, let's go out every weekend and spend all our paycheck and do all that. It gets a little old after a few decades, and here I am.
So wouldn't you say when you write, you're moving to a new state mentally?
No, physically. I uprooted from Nevada and moved to Idaho right after the turn of the century.
But anyway, what is the process? Do you plan, or does it come to you? How do you do it?
Well, I've evolved this process over time, and I found out that writing by the seat of my pants didn't really work that well for me. So I started getting into some really detailed plots, but I don't do it like anybody else you know. I storyboard my plots. And I've done it all electronically. It makes index cards, and then you pin them on a cork board. You move them around, and you start getting the highlights of, like, three-act structure, and you move them around again. And I did that for a number of years. And one of the things that evolved in my process is to think ahead. I've actually got books mapped out in my mind that will last me the next 5 years, particularly in my ongoing series. And, I don't really make a ton of notes for that series. I'm so used to the characters by now and the shtick of their dark humor that if I come up with something, I tend to make more of a Word document with just a scribbled line. It's not the detailed storyboard like I've used before. And so it's an evolving process, but thinking ahead has really paid off for me. I've always got something I can pick up and start writing tomorrow if I need to.
Well, very interesting.
Do you set daily goals or anything, Craig?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you set like daily goals or any of that kind of stuff? Do you have any rituals, anything chanting at the moon?
I used to be that guy, and anymore I kind of just want to enjoy life as it comes. I got counting. I think I've got 25 covers in my folder of cover art. And so I've done this before. It's not a new process to me. I typically require silence, but I have gotten into ambient noise in some instances when the house has people in it. And I get whatever I get. I'm a weekend warrior, and, sometimes I knock it out of the park. It's thousands and thousands of words, and sometimes it turns into a research rabbit hole, and that's all I get done.
Mm. Wow.
I enjoy the research part, though. I go down those rabbit holes myself. I love learning. Yeah, learn some new stuff.
So are you saying, Craig, that sometimes you might have a cover first, and then that would kind of help inspire what the story is?
No, I always come up with a cover later, but I've learned to think ahead if I want to be on any kind of schedule. I'll give you an example. My next book, not the one that was recently published, but my next book, is in the Hat series, which is, they're standalone novels, but it's an ongoing series. So hopefully somebody could pick up any one of them and not feel lost. They wouldn't have to read them in order. But I do any crazy thing I can come up with in that story. So they have little graphics inside them that help make like a punchline or occasionally get used as a section break, things along that line. So first thing I do is I get those ordered once I finish the rough draft, because it takes time for my artist to make those for me. As soon as I got those back, I plugged them into the manuscript and I placed the order for my cover. I actually got the cover right after I walked in the house after my evening commute. And so it's brand new. I had never seen it until this afternoon. And the next thing I'll do after I double check my punctuation and spelling is to send it out to my formatter and get it ready to go, because this particular series, I always like to put a new one out somewhere around the Halloween season.
All right. So if you're monitoring Twitter, people, we just put the cover up with hashtag Fresh Ink Group, so you can check out the cover for Goodbye Old Paint, which is coming down the pike from C.S. Boyack. That's a very cool cover.
That is a pretty cover. I like that.
Yeah, it does. It stands out. I love the orange. It really jumps. So, hashtag Fresh Ink Group. Get over there and check it out on Twitter, people. We've also got a comment from Verwayne Greeno where he mentioned regarding Vella. I have found it is, depending on the price of the ebook. Oh, you already read that one?
Yeah, I read that one.
I must have missed that one when I was checking my notes. But that is a good point. If you can get the Vela cheaper than actually reading the ebook, that can save you some money. Of course, the downside with that of that would be that you wouldn't have it on your library, like if you have a Kindle library. But, yeah, that's pretty cool. So nice cover, Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. That particular series, just so everybody can pick them out of my roster if they're inclined to shop, we came up, my artist and I came up with that little medallion that goes on every one of them that's basically my main character playing with her band. And it helps people spot which ones are in that series and which ones aren't. You know, maybe dark humor isn't your thing and you'd like to check out something else.
Yeah, yeah. okay, all right. Thanks for calling in, Dr. Helen. You're going to stick around and listen in, I hope.
Yes, I am.
All right.
All right. Man. Take care.
Okay. Good luck to the rock.
Thank you.
Yep. So we're going to run a commercial here, and then we got another caller.
We got another caller.
Now, the Star Child trilogy by Robert G. Willis Croft is complete. In Book 1, Slingshot, three scientist engineers reach for the stars as they blend their skills with a host of skilled colleagues to create the world's first space launch loop. A team of young eco-terrorists will go to any length to halt the project. One woman is determined to scoop the story, reporting events to a watching world. Slingshot ranges from Seattle's financial district to the ocean bottom off Baker Island to the edge of space and across the vast panorama of an equatorial Pacific. It's a love story, a gender bender, and a mystery about a missing aviatrix, a conspiracy, and a true believer. It's about high finance, intrigue, heroism, fanaticism, betrayal, and humanity's surge into outer space. In Book 2, The Star Child Compact, an international team ventures to Saturn's moon Iapetus to verify it really is a derelict starship. They discover the founders, descendants of the starship's builders, who arrived in our solar system 150,000 years ago. Together with the founders, the explorers advance founder science with momentous implications for the entire solar system, paving the way for a joint push to the distant reaches of the galaxy. But a Persian caliphate stowaway sabotages the mission, hoping to destroy science that he believes violates Islam. The Star Child Compact blends tomorrow's science with human foibles, fears, beliefs, and political intrigue, speculating on how civilization might develop while traveling on a generational starship, and how modern humans might interact with remnants of that civilization. In Book 3, the Iapetus Federation, besieged Israelis on Earth make their way to Mars as the Federation expands throughout the solar system. While global jihad rages on Earth, putting millions to the sword, the Star Child Institute develops wormhole transportation. But will this new technology be ready in time to rescue all that is left of the United States, the beleaguered Lone Star Conservancy, and remnants of other cultures around the globe? From hand-to-hand combat in the oceans, to battles on Earth's surface, to struggles in interplanetary space, our heroes fight to survive and expand to the far reaches of the universe. Robert G. Willis Croft is an adventurer, polar explorer, deep-sea diver, nuclear submariner, scientist, and best-selling, award-winning author. His stories portray the accurate science and precise engineering that appeals to hard science fiction buffs. But the Star Child trilogy is for everyone who loves an epic tale, a grand journey by men and women who loom larger than life as they work, play, and love. Make the Star Child trilogy your own with individual hardcover, softcover, audiobook, and all major ebook editions worldwide, or collect the entire set for one epic journey by Robert G. Willis Croft, the Star Child trilogy.
That's some dramatic music, that's for sure.
That music reminds me of the opening of the Ozzy Osbourne concert that I went to see. That's literally the music that they started with before the band got on stage.
So just a reminder, people.
I was first exposed to it from the movie Excalibur.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. But the new edition of Slingshot, the first book in that series, is out now. That's a new Fresh Ink Group edition. And the trilogy is turning into a four-part saga. So those books will be coming out in the coming weeks. And we're looking forward to having them out there.
All right. So we have another caller, and this one, judging by the area code, is calling from Fort Worth, the Fort Worth area of Texas. Hello, Texas. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey.
Hello. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. My name's Clint. I really didn't have much to say. I made friends with Dr. Helen a couple months ago, and she told me to listen to this show tonight. So that's
all right.
Listening.
Hey, yeah, Clint, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not a writer. I'm just listening, and I was supporting her and y'all too.
Yeah, so are you a reader?
Yes. I mean, I mostly just read, like, the news and, you know, like, I hate to say it, I guess, like, CNN, well, not really CNN, but all news sites pretty, current events and stuff like that. But,
okay.
But, yeah.
Well,
but,
thanks
I'll hang up and, yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in. We hope you subscribe to the newsletter as well. Go to freshinkgroup.com, and right there on the homepage, you can subscribe, and then you can be informed of who our guest is every week, as well as other books coming out, new trailers, and things like that, too. So, great. We're glad you checked us out.
Yeah. You can stay on. I'll put you on hold, and you can listen off there if you want.
Yeah, I'm also listening to y'all on blogtalkradio.com.
Okay.
You don't have You're good.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thanks for calling then, Clint.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good night, y'all. Bye.
Okay. Well, look at Dr. Helen out there bringing us new listeners. Thank you, Dr. Helen. We appreciate that.
We're talking to author C.S. Boyack, and you can call in, too, 516-453-9902. Call in with a question, a comment, or just to let us know you're showing some support for Voice of Indy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, Craig, you mentioned your family a minute ago. You said, family changes a man, new obligations, things like that. Tell us about your family.
Well, they're all grown up now. It's basically just my wife and I. I recently moved my daughter to the East Coast, which was quite the adventure. And she needed her vehicle, and so dad and daughter jumped in the car, and we drove it all the way from Idaho to the Atlantic.
Well, you're not messing around.
We had the absolute time of our lives, honestly. It was great dad-daughter time. We stopped and saw sights. As long as we didn't have to spend hours doing things, a prime example would be Mount Rushmore. That was on her bucket list, so we went there. Took a few pictures, wandered around, back in the car, and off we went. It was a long trip.
Well, that's how you do it.
We had a great time.
As long as you stopped and saw the big ball of string.
The world's largest ball
of string. Nope, we didn't catch that one.
So, just one child, daughter?
No, there's three of them. There's two boys and a girl. And the others live here in the area. And it was just an interesting event because I don't know too many people who get to take advantage and do something like that. I had a bunch of vacation saved up, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this. So we got her there. We actually had a couple of days to spare, went and had some East Coast fun. I got my lobster roll, and we went to Salem, Massachusetts, Lexington, Concord, did a bunch of that. And then she threw me on an airplane and sent me home because the car was hers.
All right.
So when you're not writing and you're not working and you're not taking your daughter to the other side of the country, how do you relax? Do you have any hobbies, interests that chill you out?
Yeah, I used to be quite the outdoorsman, but some of that's taken a back seat in the last few years. It's gotten rather expensive even to just go up in the national forest and pick blueberries. You know, the $60 worth of gasoline back and forth, and you can actually buy blueberries at the store for less than that. So
well, what's the fun in that?
Much, we haven't done as much of that as we used to in the past. We got to go to a nice concert early this spring, and I've got tickets to another one this fall. So
well, who'd you
looking
see?
Forward to that.
Well, yeah, we got to know who.
We saw Larkin Poe.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
I'm into a lot of this blues vibe, and if you've read any of the Hat stories, you'll know that I weave that music in there pretty heavily. And the one I've got tickets to this fall is ZZ Ward, who's a somebody out of Oregon who has some pretty similar vibe that she follows.
Yeah, I discovered Larkin Poe on YouTube. Just, you know, one of those nights where I'm just going through different music and boom, wow.
Yeah, now anytime you weave a band's music into a novel, I mean, that's like, you know, free concert tickets for life, I think, wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from the Rolling Stones, but I have my hopes up there.
Yeah.
Well, you better hope they get to you soon because they're getting up there.
All right.
Well, fortunately, I've already seen them once.
Okay. They were one of the bands that I wanted to see back in the day, and I never did. They were here, came through here a lot in the 70s and in the 80s, and I just never get out to see them. And now their tickets are just, you know, too expensive.
Yeah, back when I was a Hell's Angel, it was, you know.
Yeah, Hell's Angels. Yeah. Oh, you were at the
Speedway. Yeah, I was at Monterey.
I was checking out the tickets for the Eagles farewell show that's here in Detroit, and it's like the cheapest nosebleed seats for $319. So I was like, well, I'm gonna skip that one.
Yeah, it's crazy what it's happened, and it's because nobody sells albums anymore. That's just not a market anymore. I don't know if they even make compact discs anymore.
Oh, they do.
Of course,
they do.
I'm from an era where we bought 8-track tapes and stuff.
Eight-track, That's where I started. 8-tracks and 45 RPM play records.
Still have a whole stack of those.
Yeah, now it used to be that the concerts promoted the music, and now the music promotes the concerts. That's where the money is. But and you mentioned $319 a seat. That's a deceptive number because I'll guarantee you the fees and the charges and stuff will be at least $100 per seat, at least $100. I have bought tickets so far this year three times where the fees exceeded the seat price. Literally. And that's just absurd. Ticketmaster does not need to make hundreds of dollars for a digital transaction.
No, it's ridiculous. But, you know, that's what a monopoly
will
do.
Think how many independent books you could buy for that $300.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or how many Vela reads you could do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Beam, I think it's commercial time. And we're talking to Craig Boyack, people. Get on the horn and call in.
516-453-9902.
A grand epic saga by Robert McKenzie. The Chair series spans centuries, touching the lives of 22 generations of related mothers and daughters, their stories witnessed by a simple pine chair. Resolute, strong, loving, and fiercely protective, these women must strive to pass their values to new generations in a world of racism and sexism, politics, scandal, fashion, even the rise and dominance of baseball. They live in privilege and poverty with faith and despair, relishing every moment of love, even as they suffer abiding grief. Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory, spans the 1600s through World War I, while Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love, follows these women's descendants into modern times and beyond. In Volume 3, 7, 8, and 9, the chair flashes back to pre-Civil War America, featuring a woman from the Second Mayflower, her daughter, the black market Irish lace importer, and a Canadian World War I fighter pilot. A blend of history and philosophy told through satire and parody, the story of the chair could be found in some old trunk in any dusty old attic, but McKenzie breathes it alive with riveting tales that span the real and the imagined. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, the Chair series by Robert McKenzie is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook editions.
Be there. All right. Yeah. Those are, Robert McKenzie, he's out there on Twitter every day just working it. I get him in my feed there and just all kinds of tweets and he's got a dozen other people that are tweeting along with him and going back and forth on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so let's knock out another commercial because we're running down on the time here.
All right.
With good jobs so hard to find, especially in rapidly expanding Georgia, owning your own food truck could be the best option. It's the least expensive startup, and you can be fully operational in mere months. The rules and regulations can be a bit complex, and no single source has offered all the answers. Until now. How to start and run your own food truck business in Georgia by food truck veteran A.K. Wingler is the step-by-step guide that takes you from good idea to great success. Sure, it's hard work, but exciting, mobile, flexible, and highly profitable. And you get to be your own boss and set your own hours. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this book tells you how and where to make money in this exploding independent industry. Learn more at Wingler's website, yourfoodtruckhowto.com. Grab your copy in laminated hardcover, glossy softcover, or any of the major ebook formats at retailers worldwide. Even if you're just curious for now, this guide is the best way to discover why a food truck business is right for you.
And these books will teach you how to do it.
Yeah. Now, Craig, you mentioned earlier that you've got like a whole bunch of books. And if you go to a place like Amazon, that would prove you right. So let's start talking about your books here. What's the one that we're primarily here to tout tonight, the latest one, the new one that's out?
Well, you know, laughingly enough, I just tweeted the cover out with a link to purchase the book if anybody's game. And I put it on the Fresh Ink Group thread.
All right.
All righty.
So this is Once Upon a Time in the Swamp.
Yeah, I like the way that one came out. That the ox came out good. He's a longhorn. The Chevy truck bed trailer. And I really like the subtle worn-out satellite dishes in the back to give you an idea that this is a different era than you might think it is. And that particular one, because I like my books to all have something weird about them. Honestly, I don't know how many of your fans are weird, but if...
We think they all are, but that's, you know, off the record.
This particular one is a post-apocalyptic story that could easily be referred to as a spaghetti western.
Oh,
and yet it's set in this futuristic failed version of America. And so far, I don't have a giant reach, but those who have read it have left some wonderful reviews.
Hmm. So what happens in the story?
Yeah, tell us about it.
Without giving it away. The character is Mary. She's an American-born Cuban woman. She's married. She's out doing farm life things in the swamp, in the forest. Comes home, and her entire family has been murdered. And the local authority doesn't want to do anything about it. He's got more politically motivated things that he wants to deal with before he gets to her story. So she sets out in this wagon with this ox to see if she can take care of business herself. And it's quite the adventure. She goes all along the Gulf Coast off into Louisiana from Florida. And she runs into a lot of really interesting stuff, in my mind, along the way, that includes, sort of a backstory just dribbled into there about what happened. How did we get to this point? What happened to the world we knew? And you'd mentioned the book about the Submariner. There's actually a nuclear submarine in my story, but it's far inland, laying on the ground, and people have ran power lines from it, and they're using it to power probably the only electricity left in the country. And so I just dribbled that stuff in. The main story is about Mary and her quest. And those who've read it actually seem to really be enjoying it.
Hmm, cool. So how long has it been out?
I think I put that one out in April, which, you know, I don't know what I was thinking, because that was about the time I was moving my daughter to the opposite coast, and I just dealt with it from the road. So.
And what editions is it? Is it in print or just digital, Amazon?
Everything,
where do we find it?
Everything of mine is ebook, and I kind of figured everybody would wind up there eventually. And yet it's kind of fun because it seems like a lot of them are drifting back and wanting more and more paper now.
Yeah, and the hardcovers, which are still flooring us.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're seeing that here, you know, with these hardcovers, that some of them are outselling the paperbacks.
That just amazes me.
So you're getting some good reviews so far? Good
yeah,
fan feedback?
Yeah, the people who give it a shot seem to really be enjoying it. And, of course, it's out there forever now. If somebody wants to give it a shot next year, I won't complain, but it's a hot property right now, and I'd like to, you know, drum up a little bit more action for it. So, you know, I appreciate you letting me share that on your show.
Yeah, I've got it on my my Kindle. I've got a lengthy to-be-read list, but, I'll eventually get to it.
Yeah, as we all do.
Now, here's another cover that I especially like, Macabre Sanctuary. What's the story on that?
That was a group effort. It's a collection of short stories, and I happen to have one in there. And but a bunch of us, most of the Story Empire crowd has a story in there, although that's evolved over the years with members coming and going. But it's just a collection of, you know, Halloweenish horror, light humor with that dark edge to it. Depends on which story you happen to open, but there's some great stories in there.
All right. Now,
I think Stacy may have made that cover.
Who?
Oh, yeah. Stacy?
Stacy Troilo?
Yeah.
Oh, Stacy Troilo? Oh, cool.
That's a nice cover.
Yeah, she does great covers.
Let's talk a little bit about the one that's jumping out at me, Wreck of the Lanternfish.
Yeah, I
What's
like that name.
About?
That one is a fantasy, and it's a pirate fantasy. And I put it out with the idea that it was a solo title, and to be real honest with you, two Story Empire members twisted my arm and wanted more, so I turned it into a classic trilogy.
And that's book three.
Wreck of the Lanternfish is book three, but the original was Voyage of the Lanternfish, and so I turned it into a classic trilogy. I learned a lot from doing that. I'm trying to work on writing a different classic trilogy right now, and I'm not going to release them until they're all done. I did these one a year for 3 years, and by the time you get to that last one, some of the buzz has worn down. And so when I get this other one finished, I'll probably get all my covers, all my editing, all my everything, have them ready to go, and then maybe I'll drop one every 30 days so that I can keep the momentum going.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it was well received. A lot of people liked it. People still talk about the root monsters that I put in there, which are these mischievous little comedy relief characters that are all over the ship. And so, in fact, they're still really popular with a certain crowd.
I love
now,
the Lanternfish name.
Yeah, you've got six books in the Hat series, and I read the first one, loved it.
Yeah, I read the first one.
Well,
where did this idea come from?
You know, I don't know where they come from. I'm a big believer in the muse, and stuff just comes to me. And so when it does, I dwell on it. Sometimes I forget all about it. If it keeps coming back to me, I start making a few notes, and ultimately I write a story. One of the goals I had on that one is all holds are off. If I want to put a graphic in there, I will. I've done at one point I wrote out a sequence of dialogue, and I told my daughter, we have to text this back and forth to each other. So we did that, and I did a screenshot and used that as like a photograph embedded in the picture, because there isn't really a text font that Amazon will take or that anybody makes that serves my purposes. So I put it in as a photograph just because it was corny and kind of dumb, but it looks exactly like a text thread would on your phone between two characters. I've done all kinds of crazy stuff with it, and I don't intend to stop.
Wow. Yeah. Now I'm looking at one called Arson. This is a how-to book?
Yeah. You can learn a lot from that.
So I assume it's a novel, right?
Yeah, it's one of my earlier works, and I'll confess some things about my earlier works. They're a little rough around the edges. I leave them up because they're waypoints on my journey, but it was a good cover. It's a science fiction bit, and while I enjoyed it, I can look at it now, and I can see some shortcomings with that story, and I bet everybody can do that with some of their older work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I've got one of my early short stories. I put it in my first short story collection just because I wanted to add something else on there. The rest of the stories in there, you know, came at a later time. But that first one, I thought, well, it's 20 years old, but I'll throw that in there. And it needed to go. It needed to be polished up, rewritten or whatever. But, you know, there it is.
So
you see
the
evolution.
Are you one of these guys that will go back and unpublish things or pull it out,
no.
rework something,
no.
do that?
Because
I leave mine up.
I do,
yeah,
too.
We do too.
I've earned my bumps and bruises, and there they are for the world to see. So
this is one story out of 20 in that book, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
Now, your earlier works are always what you were as a writer at that point in your career. And that should, I think that should be preserved. I don't like the idea of going back and trying to keep changing things. It looks like my first novel was my first novel. I don't want it to be my first and 12th and 17th and 26th. You know?
Exactly. That's,
so you
that's
get it
how
right.
I feel about it, too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you want to be entertained, pick up one of my more recent ones and have at it.
Yeah. All right. So we've got a commercial for Submariner, and I want to point out that Submariner, they say, is an insult, so we're going to pronounce it Submariner.
Yeah, all right.
Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. Jerry Pate's semi-autobiographical collection of 60 stories recounts his 30 years in and around the U.S. Navy submarine fleet, ranging from lighthearted to wrenching. All are poignant inside looks at naval operations rarely seen by outsiders. Topics include the real story behind the Shuttle Challenger tragedy, risking his own life underwater, discovering a Soviet spy living across the street, surviving when an engine ignites, critical missions, and the everyday lives of men and women of the fleet. Compiled by author Robert G. Williscroft and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Submariner is available worldwide in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Dive into Submariner for hijinks and breathtaking adventure with this poignant memoir by a true American hero.
Chapters of true story.
Available now.
Yeah.
Get out there and grab a copy. We've had Jerry on, and these stories are incredible. And they're all true except one. You got to figure out which one.
Yeah.
So, Craig, let's talk marketing. What's your take on marketing?
Do you believe in it?
What do you do that works
I'm pathetic,
or doesn't work?
Actually. I used to make great mileage out of these extended blog tours. And they just don't seem to have the oomph that they used to be real honest with you. I've put an awful lot of effort into my marketing over the years. One of my original characters in my very first novel is Lisa Burton, the robot girl. And I've kept her with me the entire time. And so I would have her make guest appearances on different blogs and formats. And she would talk about the books, and I always had posters to go with that. And so they always drew a lot of attention. It really helped to get my name out for a good long time. I used her to market other people's books on my blogs for a long time in a really popular blog series called Lisa Burton Radio, where she would interview your fictional characters. And we ran that once a week for over 2 years, and then for some reason the well dried up. People just didn't seem to be that interested anymore, and so I stopped running that one. I spent 2 years working my tail off on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm one of these guys who pays attention, and I think I may have sold 3 books in that 2 years' time based specifically on social media.
Wow.
And so you know, I got to look at that and think, my hours are worth more than that. I could write my next story in the amount of effort I put into it. And so that's kind of where I've been at this point. I'm looking for the silver bullet like everybody else is, and I just haven't found it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a crapshoot too, because what works for one author may not work for another.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, what you mentioned about blog tours too, we've both noticed that as well. They seem to have lost quite a bit of their oomph. They're starting to feel, you know, for lack of a better word, kind of incestuous, like it's the same group of writers that everybody knows all supporting each other, but we're not finding the readers quite as much as we used to. And one of that, I think...
That's kind of a ball of worms, because some people really expect that if you're going to take something out on tour, you're going to stop at their site. They want to support. They're good friends.
Yeah.
Yet,
I could reach the same people on my site. It's a kind of a tight-knit little circle. And so breaking beyond that first barrier is part of the challenge, because you don't want to insult your friends who've supported you so hard over the years.
Yeah.
And yet, how many unique things can you write about any one given story so that they're not just the same old thing every time you drop a post online? You know, I like people to get something unique out of every post I wrote. And so, you know, I can write about my main character. I can write about my setting. I can write about why I came up with the environment that I did, and all kinds of different things. But eventually you're either, you know, giving away your ending or resorting to excerpts or something like that, to where, you know, I don't know how many of those I can put out there to stay within my group of friends, but also break out and find more people beyond that reach. And so I don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah, I think one of the problems I've been seeing too is that WordPress, nearly all writer blogs are WordPress, and WordPress limits what you can do if you don't have a WordPress account. It limits, you know, you being able to comment and like and things like that.
Oh yeah.
But it also makes it difficult for you to even find the stuff. Like if you've got a WordPress account, you can go into your reader and look for Craig Boyack's posts or posts on certain topics or whatever, and it's real easy. If you don't have that account, you have to Google it, and then it's just a crapshoot about whether or not you're going to find that posting. And then again, if you do find it, you can't really interact and leave that comment that you're just burning to say. So I think WordPress is part of the problem here. We need to come up with, I don't know, maybe Meta will put out an alternative to WordPress once they get done with Threads.
Right.
Yeah, so it's an ever-changing environment, but we're always looking for new ideas for marketing like that. And we're glad you shared that, Craig, because, you know, that's something that's a never-ending discussion. And speaking
I've
of
done some of the paid promos too, you know, and some of them have worked out fairly well. Some of them haven't. I had one that I did when I first released the hat, and it just went out of the park. It just went crazy. They had wonderful reach. The next time I tried it, not much happened, which may boil down to you have to write something somebody wants to read, you know. It doesn't matter how good it is. If it's not like a top most popular genre, they might not flock to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, speaking of writers and getting a group together, we've talked on this show about Story Empire before, which Beam and I are both members of, and Craig Boyack, you're a member of Story Empire too. This is a great chance to tout it, and if we'd been thinking ahead, we would have loaded up the commercial we made about Story Empire, but we'll run that for you next week. What is Story Empire, Craig, and why do we care?
Well, we should care. It's a group of authors, and they're all veteran authors too. They're seasoned professionals. I don't know anybody in the group who doesn't write an outstanding book, and I've read pretty much everybody's books, one or the other, at some point. I haven't read a single book outside of the Story Empire crowd this year, and I've been thoroughly entertained with everything I've picked up. It's designed to talk to the other authors out there, and so we've got a lot of tips. We might land on anything. We did an extensive tour years ago about cover art, what we should look for, what works, what doesn't work, what the purpose of a good cover is, and we have talked on – I did the character archetypes. I've done the hero's journey, big series on those. Stacy has run some about the basic plot. I see that you guys have each had some really interesting stuff lately. And there's no rule book that says, you know, you can or can't write about something. And so most of us take it fairly seriously, although I've posted a couple of tongue-in-cheek ones. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
you know, I just think it's a great resource for anybody who's an author. And even the most, you know, the ones that seem a little more mundane, you're still going to pick up tips and tricks, which is what it's all about anyway. I just think it's a wonderful group.
And how do we find it?
Storyempire.com.
Great. And click on the blog if you want to go straight to the articles.
Yeah. Mae Claire has an excellent post on there today about character occupations. And that's something that you might not think about, you know, as you're going in to write a story. But, wow, there's these ideas that, you know, your character's occupation can actually form who the character is and give you little tidbits to drop into the storyline, the plot line, based on that character's occupation. So get over there and read that stuff.
Yeah, all of my characters and all of my books all work in the sausage factory, and I'm starting to think maybe there's alternatives.
That's true,
yeah.
There are.
Now, Craig, writing theory. What's your thoughts on writing theory?
Well, it's good to have one.
Yeah.
After
testing
the
hypothesis.
You know, I think a lot of that goes towards finding your voice. I think it's this mythical thing out in the ozone that we're all told about, but nobody tells us where it is and how to find it. And I think you get there by writing that first million words. I try to have a little humor in all my stories, even if it's inappropriate at a bad time, just to break the tension and the film of ice, you know, as things are going along. Once upon a time in the swamp, I didn't, because this woman spends so much time by herself, I wrote it in first person point of view. But I also introduced some, more lighthearted bits between her and the ox, or her and the dog that she finds along the way. People seem to really love this dog, even though she's just fiction. And I think it's important, at least in my mind, that every once in a while you're gonna just stop and you're gonna remember that there's more to life than just that laser focus on the task at hand. And other people look at it differently. Other people like to keep that tension up and never let it go, and that's fine. There are some that smolder romance really well. And so I think ultimately with your writing theory, you just kind of, that evolves, and I hope it keeps evolving no matter how long I do this. But that's my 10 cents on it.
Yeah, and
yeah.
Don't forget, have fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when it feels like work, take a break.
Take a break.
Come back when it's feeling like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if it's not evolving, too, then you might be in a stuck point. You need to again, take a break and step away.
You know, I've got a trick for that one, too, and most people think I'm crazy. I tend to draft two stories at once, and they're usually quite different than one another. And when I run into a mire on one of them, I just close the file, and I open the other one, and I move forward there. When I finally get it mired down, I'm usually ready to go back and unmire the other one, and that's what works for me.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, we won't give you a crazy for that. That's pretty cool. All right, so our guest today has been C.S. Boyack. Get out there and find him, people. He's got a whole bunch of digital books. He's all over Amazon with Kindles. Craig, how do people find you, contact you, follow you, learn more about you?
Well, I've got a WordPress blog. I've got a very minor Facebook presence anymore, Twitter account. I'm not really hard to find if you're looking for me. Amazon is an easy place to go. I'm on BookBub. I'm on Goodreads. You know, beyond that, I haven't really dabbled in some of the other stuff. I don't see myself as being a TikToker or any of that format, but I'm not hard to find if somebody's looking.
What's your Twitter handle?
is, what is that one? That one's Virgilante, if I remember right.
Virgilante.
So it's not Vigil, it's Virgil.
At Virgilante on Twitter. And then the name of your WordPress blog, how do they find that one?
That one is, let's double check and make sure I'm right.
Yeah,
and
walk right.
It is coldhandboyak.wordpress.com. And that's all one word ran together.
All right. And of course, people, you can always, if you can't find an author who's been a guest on our show, freshinkgroup.com's got a contact form. Send us a note and we'll pass it along. Make sure that somebody hears from you. It's been a blast.
And you can find me
Greg.
On Story Empire, by the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Story
right.
Empire. Right. Click on blog and start scrolling down. Yeah, there's lots of cool stuff there. And Craig's got one a month popping on there. Thanks for being on the show, Craig. It's been fun learning more about you. This is your second time on. We're looking forward to having you on the next time, too. So, get out there and check them out.
I appreciate it. I'll write more so we can do this again.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right. Now, coming up, people, next week's guest is going to be M.C. Howard. And we mentioned that the first in her Dayang trilogy book is coming out in the next couple of weeks, and that's called The Dayang. We're also putting together a book of her multimedia mermaid art. She's got almost 40 paintings that have been used for the last quarter century in the Yachty Gras. That's Yacht, Y-A-C-H-T, the Yachty Gras Festival down there in Texas. So that's M.C. Howard. And who we got after that?
After that, we've got Joseph Carabas. He's going to drop in, and we're going to get to meet him for the first time. Don't know a whole lot about him, but that's the cool thing about booking some of these authors that we don't know. We get to learn just as the listeners do. So Joseph Carabas.
Likewise with our next guest, Kim Bacellia. That's an author that we did not publish, and we're just starting to learn more about her. We can't wait to have her on the program. What's after that?
After that is David Carroll makes a return visit, and he's always interesting, so tune in for that one. And after that...
Yeah, now, David Carroll's an NBC newscaster, so, you know, we're just happy when he can pronounce all the words, you know. But we've got V.S. Kamanis coming after that. Via Kamanis is an author we've just been getting to know in the last couple of days, so we're looking forward to having her.
And I do have several others lined up that have all agreed to do the show. I just have to get them scheduled into the dates and times. And so keep your ears open and give with that newsletter. Subscribe to it if you haven't, because this is where you're going to hear about them.
Yeah.
All right.
And again, B.S. Boyack. C.S. Boyack. B-O-Y-A-C-K.
And we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you again, Craig. We appreciate your time.
Yep. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks for having me.
Yep.
All right. See everybody next week.
All right. We're going to roll a couple of commercials on the way out.
When Aaliyah and Kehlani go from having fun to tussling, Big Mama puts it to rest, as fighting and bullying are plain wrong. Later, Big Daddy tells the girls about the photo of a man on the mantle. His name is Daddy Yo-Yo, he says, telling the girls about his late grandfather, who watched out for all the children in his neighborhood. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is about a group of boys having fun until Evil Eye Bucket Smith tries bullying his smaller rival, young Chucky Fry. Daddy Yo-Yo won't stand for it. He knows that looking out for kids also means teaching about pride, self-worth, and caring for others. From Fresh Ink Group and author educator Janice D. Tony, the illustrated full-colored chapter book, Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is out now. Grab and share your copy in hardcover, softcover, or all ebook formats. Find out who the real winners are as we all learn the wisdom of Daddy Yo-Yo.
As we remember, documents the remarkable story of a Women's Relief Corps chapter in Beaufort, South Carolina. The WRC is a national organization established as an official auxiliary to the Grand Army of the Republic in 1883. A Women's Relief Corps post has existed in the city of Beaufort in various forms since 1892. While much of the record of the early Beaufort Corps was passed through the esteemed oral history tradition, in 2019, members commissioned a study to ensure their story would be documented in print form and told for many generations to come. That story centers African American women as lead agents of change and co-creators of the patriotic spirit, an important theme given that historically the National WRC was primarily white-led, and in southern localities like Beaufort, completely segregated. Beyond documenting the members' experiences, this story is compelling in the larger context of our nation contending with changing notions of its national identity and definitions of patriotism. Written and compiled by Najma Thomas, PhD, and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this fascinating history is available in all ebook formats, or grab your keepsake edition in full-color softcover or laminate hardcover, or listen to the audiobook narrated by the author. As We Remember, a history of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.